gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I am the best wrestler in the world, Chris Lafferty, and I'm joined by the best wrestler in the world, Nick Davey. How you doing this evening, Nick?
Good evening, yes. Very nice introduction, thank you.
Well, anyone could be the best wrestler in the world if Shane McMahon is. So you just claim you are.
Yeah, good early dig.
How are you doing?
I don't feel I could jump off the Hell in a Cell as good as him, or off a, yeah... Or even do the coast to coast as good as Shane. And as I did my entrance,
Shane
McMahon.
If you have 20 years experience, you could learn to fall onto a cushion, I guess. So, before we end for any news, Nick, you were at Riptide on Friday. Do you want to let the listeners know what went on?
Yeah, well, I was at Riptide. First of all, we could hear obviously everyone behind us and everyone in the crowd looking at Twitter and laughing about the events that were going on at Crown Jewel at the time. but really good show. Obviously, the last Riptide show of the year. Been a challenging year, obviously, for Riptide. Obviously, I know they had to cancel a few shows towards the end of the year due to the budget cuts. Obviously, the winter and the early on of the year, back in March time, obviously, affected their double show with. Obviously, people not being able to attend and what have you, and ticket sales not being where they would like them to have been. But really great year. But yeah, for the show itself, we opened up with a very good match between Lord Gideon Gray and Brighton's own Jordan Breaks. Jordan Breaks, they've obviously wrestled before. Jordan Breaks obviously started wrestling at the last Riptide show, the 3-day tournament back in August. And impressed with the young man. I think he's got hopefully we see a bit more of it.
Gideon Gray is somebody I want to see live.
Hey?
Gideon Gray is somebody I want to see live. Have any ever seen him like a managerial role?
Yeah, he's good. Obviously, we've seen obviously pro red pros now on. I've got that on series record. So he's been sort of doing that. But yeah, he's a good wrestler to be fair, Gideon Gray. But yeah, very good on the mic. Obviously, just a very good heel. It was a good opening to the show. Obviously Gideon Gray did win, so obviously get the fans a bit tensed up early on, but no, good open to the show. But yeah, so hopefully both men that will be a big part of Riptide going forward, especially Gideon Gray's been there since day one as a heel, and then Breaks, it's nice to see a local lad on the scene, and so hopefully he'll be on the shows a lot more regularly. Second match was the Halloween Shenanigans match between Chris Brooks and David Starr. Much to David Starr's dismay, as I say, he made his entrance, then Chris Brooks wasn't quite ready, so David Starr went to the back, and you could hear their conversation being held on the mic. David Starr was under the impression they'll be having a 5-star wrestling match with fans, chanting fight forever, etc, etc. But no, Chris Brooks decided to come and was dressed up as a Frankenstein. It was a Halloween Shenanigans match. We saw, obviously, appearances also from Kid Lykos and Charlie Evans.
Yeah.
So it sort of turned into a tag match. Charlie Evans and Kid Lykos then sort of fell in love during the match. Yeah, very nice.
Is there Kid Lykos all recovers from his injury, though?
Well, wasn't doing much. He didn't take much bumps or anything, so I imagine it was... obviously pre-planned, obviously not to get too much bumps, but he didn't have anything in the sling or anything, so, but it obviously just depends until he next gets injured, because he flies around the ring like a maniac, obviously, Lykos.
Did he have inflatable Lykos with him?
There was no inflatable Lykos, no, I think he's still recovering from TK Cooper throwing him out at the Progress Battle Royal back at Wembley Arena in September, the latter end of September. But no, it was a funny match, to be fair. Chris Brooks was the winner. Again, two obviously big stars you have on the show. I wouldn't have liked to have that as the Halloween pinching out influence, but I made, I suppose it makes it all that bit more funny, I guess. But it was funny, honestly. It was quite hard to. I had a friend who brought it onto the show, because it was proven extremely difficult to get rid of this ticket, which says all about a show, a sold out show. So I mean, it was a tough one for me, because people were obviously already going to the show already,
yeah.
Or they couldn't go, so it was one of the two. So I brought a friend along who's never been to a wrestling show in his life, but yeah, so it was hard to describe this match to him when he was wondering what was going on. The third match, we had my match of the night, Speedball Mike Bailey versus Carrier Noor. Fantastic match. So Noor, I'm not really, Noor, I've not really seen much of him. He's obviously been in Riptide for a while now, but he was brilliant. Best match he's had in the company by a long shot. So I think we've got good, hopefully good. I've seen a lot now to suggest that maybe he should be putting up promotions around the country, the bigger promotions, so to speak, like Progress and what have you. So no, I'm really impressed by him.
Sounds like a good contract in styles, that much.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and obviously they're both wrestle in bare feet as well. Whether that helps, I don't know. But it was just a very good speed fight. I've seen Speedball Mike Bray wrestle twice now. He had a match, obviously, with Walter at the. I've seen that before back in July, the Todd July show, which was fantastic. So it was just a. It was a really, really good match. And so Mike Bailey, I think he needs to be in a lot more promotions. I mean, I know he's not allowed to play. He's not obviously allowed to play. People say that he's not allowed to work in America, apparently. For apparently, when he worked out there once, he went on a holiday visa rather than a work visa.
Yeah, I heard that.
So it's a bit of a shame.
Banned from working there for 5 years, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So it's a shame because he is a... yeah, he's a really obviously talented wrestler, really good wrestler, and so I'd say one of the best potentially in the world. So no, he is a fantastic wrestler, and so it would be nice to see him at some of the bigger companies. But he's got that whole Mike Bailey is, but he really is a it was a fantastic wrestler match, full stop. And so I just hope I can see him at more companies around the country. Might expect to speak on Mike Bailey. And then the final match before the interval, we had, it's only Friday. It's been a long few days since that Friday. It was the Aussie Open Challenge. And who answered it? None other than Jimmy Havoc and Ginny. A special mention, they came out to a live band, almost like a WrestleMania entrance.
Wow.
Live band, yeah, performing I Hope You Suffer, which was fantastic. They actually performed really well. But no, it was good seeing Havoc and Ginny. Obviously, they'd made, obviously, they had a few before in Riptide where it was settled in a death match, which Havoc won. And obviously gave Ginny's perspective after they agreed to become a tag team, so it's nice of them as that tag team, so to speak, and then a really good match. Shout out to Ginny, she did pick up an injury where she obviously fell off, well, did a move off the right, but she sort of sprained her, rolled her ankle, so she was helped to the back. Apparently nothing too serious, so shouldn't affect her, and obviously WWE NXT UK, fingers crossed anyway, so that thing that's been updated, so I think she's okay. But yeah, Havoc did get the job done in the end by winning the match. It was a really good match, to be fair. And then after the match, Chikara and Paul Robinson, well, Chikara came out, obviously, kind of promo, and then Robbo came out and attacked Havoc from behind.
Wow.
Typical Robbo. But no, and they've, I think it's going to be a tag match potentially the next show, in early 2019, a tag match between them two. But no, it was good to see Robbo there. Got a picture of Robbo at halftime, actually.
Yeah.
Which was quite good. Still scares me. He pushed, actually, funny enough, he pushed my mate who I was with into me. obviously, Robbo loves to squat up to the fans. Yeah, pushed my mate full power into me and knocked beer over me. Oh. My mate was petrified. But no, that was good. Obviously, the interval. Obviously, much to at the interval, the classic anti-fun police coming out and trying to get the bars shut down so people weren't going to have any fun. unfortunately, it failed. They were overruled. And then, yeah, second part of the show, we had kicking off. We had the six-person scramble match, number one contender for the title shot at the next Riptide show in early 2019. Contestants were Flash Morgan Webster, Viper, Minnie McKenzie, TK Cooper, Jack Sexsmith, and Candy Floss.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really good match. The winner was in the end, TK Cooper. Obviously, shout out, good match. Good, obviously, a typical six-person match. But yeah, ultimately it was won by TK. But during that, obviously during the match, Money versus everybody came out, and yeah, Spike Gerrard basically smashed the chair shots a billion times on hit that chair shots he hit on Sexsmith was painful.
Yeah.
So basically screwed Sexsmith over. Obviously I've gone back to Riptide Show when Sexsmith screwed Gerrard to not win the title when Chuck Mumbo won it back in August. And then TK Cooper, yeah, so he got the pinfall. He managed to just beat Flash in covering Sexsmith. TK Cooper cut a promo after the match saying he's going to win, he's going to be the next champion, and how much he doesn't like working for Riptide. So good heel promo there by TK, and that should be a good match. We then had after that, what did we have after that? Come on Nick, it wasn't that long ago. Right, he just gets his phone to look. Well, we are. So, whilst I'm thinking that much, I'll just go to the penultimate match. What I'm thinking, it was Team White Wolf and OJMO versus Money versus Everybody. And sadly, Money versus Everybody did win. Then after the match, they were going to try and break OJMO's neck.
Wow!
But luckily, Smith. Yeah. Luckily, Sexsmith and the rest of the pretty much Riptide wrestlers all came out to stop. And then Sexsmith basically begged Josh Bevan, the owner of one of the leaders of Riptide, for a match at Spike Gervais at the next show. So hopefully, we see some sort of hardcore match to try and end this feud. But it's been a fantastic feud. It's a great example of how little companies can still really create good rivalries, because this has been a rivalry that started since day one.
Yeah,
at Riptide. So. The fact they keep it going, it's still really hot, fresh, really hot. And I think it's just full credit to Riptide that it's there. It's not even taking them, because usually in wrestling companies, they take about a few good years and to probably get into good storylines, rivalries, but this has been from show one. So I just think fair play to the Riptide guys for making this match so good. And for making the storyline so good, even. Obviously, they've created, that's why Mike vs. Everybody's basically existed for all the shows during this whole battle, so it's good. So fingers crossed where it will go. It was intrigued to see where it all goes. I just remember that match now. It was Chris Wolf versus Curtis Chapman. And Chris Wolf did win. Nice to see her, obviously, in Riptide. Well, my first ever time I've seen her wrestle, full stop, actually, to be fair. And hopefully we see her again, be my theme of this quick round up, so to speak. But hopefully we see her in more companies as well, around the companies, around the country, too. It was brilliant. And then main event time, it was Chuck Mambo versus Eddie Dennis. Top of the Broadband Championship. Really good match. Chuck Mumbo did win. Everyone in the room was expecting the Eddie Dennis blatant heel turn to come.
Yeah.
But no, just very odd. Just looked at Chuck Mumbo from the title and aggressive way and stormed off. So that was about it, really. It was a bit like the Head in a Cell pay per view, really. Like you're expecting something, the final bit to happen, and then it just stops, basically. But no, it was it was a good main event, but. Everyone was waiting for that moment to happen, so really good show. So another fantastic year for Riptide, and looking forward to when they obviously what released. Hopefully, the shows of what's going to happen in 2019.
That sounds like a great show.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when Eddie Dennis. Because I'm enjoying his promos on NXT UK so far. So it'll be interesting when he finally makes his debut for NXT UK.
It just seems like I'm watching sort of his progress sort of work, but I guess that's why obviously that NXT UK, they have to kind of take the work from British companies for it to work in a way, don't they? So it's nice they're bringing him in as a heel, and so I think at the moment the sky's the limit for Eddie Dennis. I think he's obviously really talented. He's coming across so well as a heel, and I think he's one that you see this all the time in wrestling or just wrestling in general, that you get people like Batista as well, but I think it's a prime example of when you turn heel, it can actually almost make you into an absolute star. Well, to be fair, Daniel Bryan's another example, wasn't he? When he obviously went heel and started doing the S movement for the first time. So, no, I think Eddie Dennis, I mean, he got really good ovation at Wembley. He wasn't supposed to. But, I think the sky is the limit for Eddie Dennis. He's proven to be a great face. He's a fantastic heel at the moment. And, I'm really excited to see where he comes when he comes into the NXT UK.
Right, so before we discuss the PR, PWI 100. Just want to do a reminder of our competition, which we started last week. So, for UK, our UK-based viewers, we have a competition to win a pair of tickets for, to an audience with Mick Foley, courtesy of our friends at southwestlive.co.uk. The tickets are either for the show in Bristol or the show in Birmingham, and will be hosted by NXT UK star Flash Morgan Webster. So all you need to do to enter is go to our Twitter page, follow us at BBGWpod, and then retweet our pinned tweet. And then on the 16th of November, we'll make a random drawing. And good luck. I hope you win.
Oh, God, it's him. Valerie, we've downloaded the wrong podcast. We meant to get Broken But Glorious. We've got that one with that idiot on from Cultaholic. No, not Petiti. No, not Jack. No, not Ross. No, not the one really low down the totem pole, Tom Campbell. That's him. I think we've got that one on. We should get Broken But... Oh, this is Broken But Glorious. Oh, he's just doing the intro to it. Oh, that's a relief. I thought it'd be him for the whole hour. This is Tom Campbell, and this is Broken But Glorious.
The Pro Wrestling Illustrated released the Women's 100, which has been expanded from 50 last year. So their top 10 was... Number 1 was Ronda Rousey. Then we had Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Io Shirai, Asuka, and there was Baszler, Carmella, Jax, Awatani, number 9, and then Kairi Sane was number 10. What were your thoughts on that top 10, Nick?
Rousey, number 1 for sure. I, from a bit of a biased point of view, I'd like to see Blazer a bit higher because I'm just a massive Blazer fan. Alexa Bliss, number 2. Is she really been better than Charlotte and Oscar?
Well, it is worth noting that these rankings are based on October 1st last year to September 30th this year. So, makes sense why the likes
Oscar, I can understand, because her booking's been appalling on SmackDown.
Yeah, she's probably so high because she won the Rumble, I'm guessing. End of her NXT run last year.
I think with Bliss, to be fair, on the mic, she's probably the best talker, I'd say, in WWE. Mm. Whether that's got anything to do with the votes, I don't know, because you could say something about Miz. But no, I think she's the best speaker in WWE at the moment for women. But her matches, her matches haven't been bad at all, and they've been very good, to be fair, a lot of them. It's probably... I could be completely wrong, but I'd think Charlotte Flair 100% should have been number 2.
Yeah.
Becky potentially could have been up there. I think the way you said it about from October 1st last year or whatever. I think just maybe Charlotte Flair could have been, I think, above Bliss, but apart from that, no, I mean, I know, like, from a biased point of view, I'd like to see Blazer a bit higher, but apart from that, it's pretty on point, I would say.
I've seen a few people on Twitter arguing that Rousey shouldn't be number 1 because she's only had 5 matches away. probably more than that now. Their argument is she hasn't wrestled enough to warrant being number 1. Because she's only wrestled for like 6 months. Well, according to this.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can completely understand that. I just personally think she was just... Rousey. I think she's been such a big star since she's come to WWE. I know we've always had the Evolution before, but I think she's kicked the Women's Evolution into another gear, I think. Everyone's entitled to that, and I completely agree. Even if you go Charlotte Flair, probably number 1, because I think whether I was just there live, I'm going to America this year, I think Charlotte Flair and Oscar was just such a great match as well, to be fair. But then Rousey, I think Rousey had matched the night, and to be fair, I think with Rousey being number 1, to have your debut at WrestleMania, and then just not only that, to steal the show at WrestleMania, I think that merits number 1, just me alone, I think.
Their argument seems to be, it's like a player coming in to the Premier League in the January transfer window and then winning Player of the Year.
Not a way to put it, but then this is not disrespecting any of the women, then I had to use a lot of tennis into a bit of a football show, but when Brighton a few years ago, when we all put up awful, we signed Burham Kyo in January, then we stayed up.
Yeah.
It was my best. I voted him as player of the season, even though he hadn't changed in January, and people say, oh, you can't vote for him. January. I disagree. I think I'm making it sound like the women's division was crap before Rousey came out. It certainly wasn't. It was brilliant. It's got even better. Mm. But yeah, I still think that if someone comes and makes that much of an impact in a short space of time, they can be up for player of the season. So no, oh, sorry. They can be up for to be in the number one of the heavyweights. But I completely get their views, but my personal opinion, I agree with Rousey being number one.
Some people saying that Sasha Banks should be higher, she's number 14.
I think booking could be to blame with that. I think with her and Bayley, I think it's just been a bit of a weird one they booked them to.
I think they could have had an mate if they just let that feud go. It was two stop stars. I think they both would have made top 10. Bayley was number 17 on the list. I think they could have both shot that flew up the list if they just let them fight.
This year, because I think we know where it's going to go. They're putting out like a thing where some of them take someone from the Rumble, and it's probably going to go into a match or a WrestleMania. But isn't this like last year? It's like what the hell have they done for the last year?
They'll win the women's title, tag team titles when it comes out, and they'll, over time, start to hate each other.
They'll lose the belts, won't they? That'll be that. But yeah.
If they do a shake-up soon, it'd be interesting if one of them went to SmackDown to just separate them for a year or so. Because they're in each other's back pockets too much. So.
Well, that's the old thing to be in, same old match of either one of the front members of the Riot Squad. It seems to be every week on Raw. Before that bit, by doing Sasha and Bayley versus the Riot Squad.
Yeah.
Give them Natalya one week, give them someone else the next week. But it does seem to be like that, quite repetitive. But yeah, I think it'd be nice to get this feud not done and rushed, but I think they could have made it even like a year-long feud. I think no one would have really been that disappointed.
Yeah, did you see what Becky Lynch said about finishing 11th?
I did see a tweet. Hmm. Can you remind me?
Yeah, she said, I'm not going to do an Irish accent. Sorry. She said, the only way I should be 11 is if the question is on a scale of 1 to 10, how hot is Becky Lynch right now?
I did see that. Yeah, got a good point. Because to be fair, she's probably the best. She's probably, her and Rousey are going to be a more equipped time for things. I think they're the two pretty most over women wrestlers in the company at the moment.
I think if the...
Becky especially.
If it took in the last month, I reckon she'll be second, third, possibly in top. Becky, her performance in the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah, but since SummerSlam, she's just gone to another level. And again, we kind of mentioned this, we touched this earlier about with Eddie Dennis, about being a heel. This has just made Becky Lynch go to another level, hasn't it? I don't think, again, WWE not really wanting to have this sort of almost like this perception she's getting, but so she's just taken her whole popularity, a whole character, it's all gone to the next level, and again, proves that if you do turn heel, it can make you into some sort of megastar, can't it? And, I think she's definitely a megastar, and I think she's one of the most over women wrestlers, she's one of the most talented wrestlers in the company right now. And but I think, when you base it before WrestleMania, well, even before SummerSlam for that matter, I can understand why she came 11, but I don't think that's down to her. I think it's, again, down to poor booking, which someone kills these wrestlers in a way, and same way Shash is 14 and so on.
And do you think there's an argument that top 10 is too WWE focused? Because for example, Impact Champion, Tessa Blanchard and Woman of Honor Champion Sumi Sakai are both in the top, they're in the top 20, but they're not near the top 10. Whereas nine of the top 10 are currently in WWE.
Yes and no. I mean, I personally don't watch, too awful lot of wrestlers outside of the WWE career. Now, I'm struggling to think of any out there now that I do see regularly that could theoretically be a high shout to be in there. Anyone that really strings to mind, but she is WWE, is Tony Storm, but then she is WWE now, obviously, isn't she? So, I can't really think of anyone outside that potentially really should be in there, if I'm going to be honest. I can see why people get disappointed, but I think with WWE, they've obviously really revamped the whole women's evolution everywhere around the world.
And I was going to say, Tony Storm's number 19 on the list. I think, do you think a run with the Progress title and making the semi-final of the Mae Young Classic last year would have warranted a higher place.
Yeah. And I think she'll definitely have a higher place next year now that she has won the Mae Young Classic. But, yeah, potentially. But no, I think, yeah, she could have been a bit higher, but no, I can't really think of anyone else who could theoretically could have been of a shout of coming out top 10.
Sup guys, it is the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Norton, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So, Crown Jewel. we're not going to do a full review of the show because most of it was boring as hell, and so we're just going to discuss the crazy bits, and Nick hasn't even watched the show, so it should be fun. So, should we start with AJ versus Samoan Joe? I thought it was an alright match. Not as good as the previous matches. My question is, if Joe was going to fail again, could they have used this match to elevate somebody like St. Almas or maybe Xavier Woods? Just give somebody else a chance? So just have a fun match with AJ?
Yeah, I completely agree, unless they're going to revitalise the feud with Styles and Joe, which I doubt they will. Yeah, I quite agree. They're going to give Silas a chance. Almas is a great show. They had a great match on SmackDown. I think they should definitely use this as a chance to give it to someone else, give someone else a good go. There's obviously some really good wrestlers on SmackDown, so yeah, no, I'm a bit disappointed they didn't give it to, say, Almas is the obvious one that springs to mind. It'd be nice if they could have given it to even Tom Shelton Benjamin, it's obviously a bit of a dumb shout.
Maybe if he did an open challenge or Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate came out to answer it, would be.
That's our UK bias showing, I think. But no, but I see. So yeah, no, it would have been quite cool. Yeah, even like an open challenge. Obviously, I think they had to be able to write Brian out in a way, didn't they? By having Joe come out to attack both men and SmackDown. So I think that's why they've done it, and it's probably the obvious choice. But yeah, obviously, I think also giving it so close to Survivor Series when SmackDown wrestlers don't wrestle each other, it quietly allows the feud to die again, I guess, if that makes sense. So. I can see why they've done it, but it would have been a bit, nice to say to give it someone. I think Almas is definitely the obvious name that springs to mind, because I think he would have definitely taken his chance with both hands as well.
Yeah, he would have had a great match. Would have made this. No, I don't even know what to call it. Is it a pay per view or is it glorified house show? Money grabbing.
Glorified house show.
Yeah, well, it would have been the most exciting match on the show if they put Almas in there against AJ. Next up was the Universal title match. So, Nick, after hearing all the interweb complaining about Brock's last run, surely you would give the title to Braun, right?
So. You would think so.
Not have him in a glorified squash match.
Have you
heard about this match?
Yeah, I've heard about it. I've heard all the disappointment about it. I can't agree.
I think there was five F5s. That's the whole match.
Obviously, I know if he was obviously given what's happened, Reigns would probably retain. You'd like to think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think the plan was for Reigns to retain. So.
Reigns versus Styles, I think, was the plan. But at least we get to see. I'm trying to find a positive. At least we get to see Lesnar versus Styles at Survivor Series.
Yeah. Lesnar signed on for two more matches, so I'm guessing it'll be Survivor Series, and then he'll lose it at Royal Rumble. I'm guessing he can't hold it till WrestleMania.
TLC, do you reckon they might get?
Maybe get Seth to win it at Mania, at Rumble, and then Seth Dean at Mania?
Yeah, potentially.
So I got the feeling the plan was always to have a Shield triple threat at Mania.
Yeah, no, obviously that's not going to happen.
No. So, they had Seth Dean.
Well, do you reckon they might move away from Seth Dean for Mania, keep the Shield for another time, when hopefully Reigns is back?
I'd like to think so, but... I don't know how they can get away from it now.
Yeah, I suppose they're so booked in now for it that it probably will happen. But yeah, I think it'll be good if they can get the title on Seth. But yeah, hopefully, mate, ideally I'd be TLC, but they just get it off Brock soon rather than later. But no, I think, I think it will be a, obviously, it's got his match at Survivor Series just Styles, which, again, I'm really excited for because I thought the last match was brilliant. Hopefully, ideally, I would nice to have Styles win this match, but it's not going to happen, is it?
Well, that's Braun Strowman. Distracts Brock.
Oh, that's true. Beastie Boy.
He turns Beastie Boy. Yeah, he turns around, goes straight into phenomenal forearm and gets the pin.
Would be quite close. We've had, yeah, don't even do Styles a world good.
I think they'll need to have Styles win this time. It sort of evens them up. And then they can have a future rubber match if he ever comes back. So, WWE obviously restructuring mode since Roman Reigns' illness, and then now they're putting the title back on Brock Lesnar. So apparently they've called into Joe Pesci. I don't know how it's pronounced, sorry. He said on the No Holds Barred podcast that WWE are prepared to offer the Elite, who are Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page, deals to fill the gap left by Roman Reigns. According to Dave Meltzer, $3 million will do it to get them all on. They want to all come in as a group.
Whoa. What, would they just skip NXT?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, would there be any talent outside of WWE? yeah, I guess, but there's lots of stars already on the rosters they can use. Surely, they can just use people who are already on the roster.
Yeah.
NXT, you can, if worse comes to worse, you can dip into some of NXT. You know, it's always a risky strategy because it hasn't really gone too well. But I think, like, Drew McIntyre is a perfect example. I think he's been absolutely fantastic this year. I think he's been the example of, if you do come next to you, I've looked correctly, you can look like a star. I was secretly, I was kind of hoping that obviously Strowman did beat Brock, but gradually that the title match would be Strowman versus McIntyre.
Yeah, I know their contracts, is it with Ring of Honor or New Japan? One of them ends in January. And Hangman Page has just rejected the contract offer from Ring of Honor.
I'd still love to see Omega debut in a Royal Rumble.
I'd love to see the Elite versus the Undisputed Era.
That would be good.
Then original Bullet Club, they'll have a three-way battle.
War games. you could even have it all inside the Punjabi prison.
I still don't understand the rules to that match.
I think it would be good. I mean, fancy booking it would go. I think everyone would have a bit of a trouser accident because it sort of goes through everyone's ideal fancy booking. That could happen, but whether it will happen, I don't know.
The next up was Shane winning a tournament that he wasn't in to become the best wrestler in the world. So the final was going to be Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz, which is a bit weird having a heel versus heel in the final, I thought.
Well, my mate got the results up and he was like, right, who do you think got to the final? And it was generally the last two you would probably got guessed. I'm like, yeah, Seth versus heel versus heel, probably two of the ones you just wouldn't expect to get to the final were Dolph and Miz. I just couldn't believe it was here.
Yeah, so immediately Miz got injured and the ref was going to call it a forfeit. And then Shane goes, well, I'll take his place. Somehow that works. You can just take somebody's place in the tournament, apparently. So, and then within two, he just did his crappy punches, threw him into the corner, did coast to coast, and pinned Dolph. So it's a crock of crap. And then he celebrated like he had won the actual World Cup. So I'm guessing this is likely leading to a Survivor Series build where it'll be Team Shane versus Team Corbin, I'm guessing Shane will be on Team SmackDown because he's the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I read that they want to make Shane heel, but I don't get how that's going to work. As Corbin's obviously a heel GM, you can't have two. It would be stupid of being a heel to go against Corbin, who is a heel.
I don't want a storyline based around Shane, because last time they tried to base a storyline around Shane on SmackDown, it went crap for weeks.
Oh, what, with him versus KO and Sammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it would just be for the pay-per-view. I wouldn't mind him doing another Under Siege attack, though.
That was fun, yeah. It'd be interesting whether Raw will attack SmackDown this time.
Yeah, SmackDown got the upper hand last time, didn't they?
Yeah.
Be quite cool. I know obviously in the UK it varies because obviously I know a lot of them do shows on the same night, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
House show nations as well.
That'd be fun.
Instead I'm at SmackDown House Show on Friday night at Brighton, so. I think, I think obviously, for the fight of Shane and Corbin, although, I imagine Shane, but it'll be Shane. Shane is one of the five, Corbin probably is one of the five, or whether Angle gets involved, does Angle's obviously. Yeah, I don't know. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, so the rumoured lineups for both teams look really good. So hopefully it'll be. I'm really looking for it. I'm glad they're doing a SmackDown versus Raw Survivor Series because there was the rumour that they weren't going to do it this year. So.
No, I like it. I think it's a SmackDown gimmick, I must admit. Last year was pretty. I mean, last year they went a bit weird, like the teams, because like, SmackDown, it was like a lot of part time. It was like Triple H was representing Raw, Cena was on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Came out of the blue, like. Wasn't he? He was like a free agent as well, so.
Yeah, it's a bit weird last year with his Nakamura and Rude kind of got eliminated too quickly.
Yeah, that was my favourite part of Triple H growing up to the NXT guys. That was the best part, in my opinion.
Wasn't? Yeah, no. Shane was the source of that. No, he wasn't. He was the last person on SmackDown, wasn't he? I'm trying to remember it.
Well, then, yeah, was it? Then Triple H was.
Triple H, Pedigree, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and then. Pedigree looked like he was going to join Team SmackDown and quickly Pedigree Shane. and then Strowman attacked Triple H after the match just for the sake of it.
Yeah, and that led to nothing.
Yeah, well, they were teasing that for WrestleMania, weren't they? Instead, we saw Strowman team with a 10-year-old.
Oh, imagine if it was Rousey and Strowman versus Triple H and Steph. That would have been amazing.
That would have been quite fun, yeah.
So next year was the 200-year war where DX defeated the Brothers of Destruction. And this match went on for 27 minutes, bell to bell.
Yeah, I saw it. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the run time I got.
But if the show finished 15 minutes early, and they think it's because Triple H legitimately has ripped his pectoral muscle.
Yeah, apparently he's injured.
So this would have gone on for another 15 minutes, probably.
Yeah. Could probably build into the future.
Yeah, it'll make sense for Sean to end Taker's career at Survivor Series, as he debuted at Survivor Series.
That would be quite good.
Because he ended Mr. WrestleMania's career at WrestleMania, and Taker debuted at Survivor Series, so we have them both retire each other-ish. And then we never have to have... matches where the combined age of competitors is 200 years old. Oh, it was just a mess. It's the same issue they had at Super Showdown. It was just too long, which led to too many dead spots. And Kane and Taker looked like they were about to pass out at every moment. And then because Triple H got hurt,
I just can't get excited by this at all. Usually when the big stars come out, I get a bit excited. I think you all do, especially in the WrestleMania season with The Undertaker. But I just can't get excited about people in this age fighting each other.
No, if they come back, they should be coming back to put the younger people over.
That's it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved Taker versus even Taker Triple H at WrestleMania 28.
And
they had so much. That was unbelievable, and I thought it was the perfect ending to the feud. So I don't really know why they have to do this all over again. Yeah. Great that they're all back, but I'd like to see Triple H in feuds with the NXT guys. Sean feuds with the NXT guys if he has to. Undertaker, Kane, even them having feuds with people coming online.
Well, it seemed to be perfect when they were having a feud with the Wyatt family a couple of years ago, but they won that feud somehow.
Yeah, that was brilliant when Undertaker lost to the Brock, and they came out and carried Undertaker on there, and the Kane the day after a Raw, and then ended up to like a 10-minute squash match, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like something like that. Survivor Series.
Hulk Hogan was on the show. He came out and said, brother, brother, brother. Very careful. Another thing I noticed on the show, they were very careful not to say Saudi Arabia. They always said Crown Jewel. They said, hello, Crown Jewel, rather than hello, Saudi Arabia, or wherever. So I think if they ever go back and play clips, they'll also say Saudi Arabia anywhere on the show. So, and they weren't doing... During the Great Royal Rumble, they had promos for how great Saudi Arabia is. They had none of them this time.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, Hulk Hogan was meant to be the host of the show, but he literally came out and said, brother, brother, brother. It's great to have so many Hulkamaniacs here. Brother, brother, brother. That's it. So my last question for about Crown Jewel. Do you think WWE are king of PR with this book and of this show? Because nobody's talking about their relationship with the Saudi government and the murder of that journalist. They're all talking about and moaning about Brock, Hogan and Shane.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy.
It just seems like I'm just so happy and thankful that I didn't waste time watching it. I'm going to be brutally honest. So I could hear everyone laughing about it. This Riptide show on Friday night. And I was just got no intention to make the effort to watch this. And so I'm just glad I didn't, to be honest. It just sounded a complete mess.
I'd say I would recommend watching the last four matches just for a giggle.
Just, yeah, I've got time a little, but I can't justify it, to be honest.
The first, if you look at the people in the King, they wanted to call this the Best in the World tournament, but they then realised Ring of Honor have the Best in the World tournament, so they couldn't. Because every promo ended in, I'm going to be the best in the world. But if you look at the eight guys in it, that should have been an amazing tournament, but it was so, it was booked. Every match was, the face gets beaten up, makes a comeback, and then either won or got defeated, or about to hit his finisher, and then the heel could get his finisher. But it was just, I can half the time most of these matches were in headlocks. I don't know what that is. It was just so boring. Oh, I wish I wasn't such a moaner on this, but it just, the talent they had on the show, it should have been really good, but they just couldn't be arsed. You could tell it wasn't a really good show, but when you watch the pre-show and watch Nakamura's entrance, and he can't even be arsed doing his entrance properly. So.
Can't be arsed doing his own entrance.
Well, he was walking to the ring half-arsedly with his arms, how he crosses them and waggles them. He wasn't doing any of his theatrics.
Hi, this is Oliver Newman. Author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
We'll move on from Crown Jewel. Right, one more bit of news, I think. New Japan have announced some of the matches for Wrestle Kingdom 13, so I'll quickly go through these. So, Kenny Omega against Tanahashi for the IWPG Heavyweight Championship. Then we have Chris Jericho versus Naito for the IWPG Intercontinental Championship. That's a repeat. But then Chris Jericho has tweeted out that even though you've announced this match, doesn't mean I've accepted this match. So I don't know. I'm loving Chris Jericho's character in New Japan at the moment. So. Then we have Okada versus Jay White, which is, I think it's going to be probably the match of the night. I can see Okada losing this match. We have Shikida versus Ishimori for the IWPG Junior Heavyweight Championship. Then we have Suzuki-Gun versus Roppongi 3K versus LIJ for the IWPG Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, which is a rematch from the last show. And the last show was a really good match. So, do you have any thoughts on that card so far?
Yeah, the Jericho match sounds brilliant. Obviously, yeah. The match sounds really good. But it always delivers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Regardless of what card it will deliver. It'll be fantastic. There'll be 7-star matches. it'll be a fantastic spectacle like it always is.
I've seen a few people complain that Tanahashi shouldn't be in the main event. I'll be people thinking Bushi should have won that tournament. But I'm happy with it. So. But, yeah, I'm sure there'll be more matches announced. They always have the New Japan Rumble to start the show. So. Naito, What Culture Wrestling today had a video on that saying that Naito rejected an offer from WWE to join them. So.
Well, I think we'll be reaching out for everyone, so.
Yeah, since it looks like Roman's left such a huge hole, they just want to sign everybody to Raw. We do have this deal with Fox for SmackDown. What was it, like £1 billion over $1 billion over so many years? So they have a lot of spare change. So it'd be interesting in the future whether SmackDown will become the A show because they're going to be on a
Fox Network, which they're paying £1 billion.
Is it staying live, SmackDown, right?
Yeah, but I think it's moving days. I think it's moving to a Thursday or Friday.
Friday night, yeah. That'd be quite good, that'd be a bit of spaced out.
Mm. Yeah, because when you have a pay-per-view week, you have up to four or five hours on a Sunday, and then 3 hours on a Monday, and then 2 hours on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's nice to break it up a bit. To be fair, I don't know, it seems like it can obviously allow more shocks to happen as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think that is all from me.
Yeah. So just a reminder for our competition.
Friday night to watch SmackDown Live House Show. So,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, looking good. Looking forward to it. My first WWE show since the America trip.
Yeah, I've got 18 days till I go to NXT UK in Liverpool, the tapings. So apparently they just do 13 matches, basically with no break.
Oh, really?
So it should be interesting.
That's a bit odd they don't do a break.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from people going to other tapings. It's literally just bang, 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 bang. But they're like TV matches, so they're only like 5 or 6 minutes long, most of the matches, and then the main event will be 15 minutes. So a lot of matches within 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Alright, so just a reminder for our competition, for our UK-based listeners. So we have a competition to win a pair of tickets for an audience with Mick Foley, courtesy our friends over at southwestlive.co.uk. So the tickets are either for the Bristol or Birmingham show, which is hosted by Flash Morgan Webster. All you need to do to enter is follow us on Twitter at BBGWpod and retweet our pinned tweet. So, yeah, again, and we'll see you for our review of
NXT TakeOver.
NXT TakeOver War Games and Survivor Series. So, good night.
Good night.